We must face the simple truth. To protect America as a land that welcomes immigrants, we must first secure the border and secure it now.
But just like beauty is in the eye of the beholder, what defines border security depends on the politician talking about it. However, with the election of Claudia Sheinbaum as the new president of Mexico, will the former UN climate scientist be more focused on the environment in the future or the present crisis happening at their north and southern border? I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. President Joe Biden is finally taking action on the record-breaking illegal border crossings. However, not everyone is happy.
If an individual chooses not to use our legal pathways, if they choose to come without permission and against the law, they'll be restricted from receiving asylum and staying in the United States.
Now, Biden received criticism from both Republicans and Democrats as the White House announced a new executive order that will basically codify allowing 2,500 illegal immigrants into the United States every day. But in a hot mic moment, Senator Joni Ernst revealed not all Republicans believe Biden's new border policy will solve the crisis.
Bottom line, never trust a man whose uncle was eaten by cannibals.
Well, the average number of illegal daily border crossings remained above 4,000 in April. And for months, Republicans, including House Speaker Mike Johnson and former President Donald Trump, had called on Biden to use executive authority to close the border. In response to Biden's executive order, the ACLU is suing Biden for implementing the same asylum ban as Trump. But Biden shot back.
For those who say the steps I've taken are too strict, I say to you that be patient, and goodwill of American people are going to wearing thin right now.
Well, the crisis at the border is in large part due to the deteriorating relationship between the Biden administration and the Mexican government under the previous Obrador administration. The lack of trust between the security agencies has caused many of the gaps in the border, as well as the lack of communication regarding who exactly is crossing. However, Mexico just recently elected not only its first female president, but also its first Jewish head of state. Claudia Sheinbaum, the former mayor of Mexico City, who resigned her position to run for president, has signaled stark differences from her predecessor in regards to the security issues between the United States and Mexico. Now, Sheinbaum wants to create a national intelligence agency, which can better gather intelligence and information and coordinate with all levels of federal, state, and municipal levels in terms of security cooperation. This agency would then work directly with U.S. law enforcement at the border. Makes sense. And one would have thought this was already in existence in Mexico. Now, Sheinbaum also believes Mexico is no longer a pass-through country from South America, but is now a destination and wants the United States to provide funds and resources so that Mexico can absorb these migrants on Mexican soil. Will this new president and her administration enact policies which will diminish the crisis at the southern border? Well, let's get some perspective with our panel. Colonel Rob Manis, who is the host of the Rob Manis Show and a former U.S. Air Force colonel. Abraham Marquez, who is a freelance reporter covering the border. And Tom Norton, Chairman, American PAC, and a veteran. Thank you so much for joining us today on this issue. I want to start with you, Colonel Manis, because let's talk about this new Mexican president, Claudia Sheinbaum, and her political views. Do you think she will just be a continuation of the policies and agenda of her predecessor, or do you actually foresee President Sheinbaum forging a new path?
Well, Scotty, thanks for having me on. I really don't see her forging a new path. She's the same party, going to pursue the same policies, which include a reform of the judiciary that's really not acceptable to somebody like an American. You're going to see more of the same, just with a different personality.
So, Abraham, I've got to talk about the significance of Sheinbaum's landslide and this extreme dominance of the Morena, or the Movimiento de Regeneración Nacional party. Did that surprise you that one party dominated so much?
I think if we want to talk about the Morena Party, the movement of AMLO that created about 10, 12 years ago, we have to give it the whole context. When AMLO came into power, you know, Mexico has been dealing with decades and decades of neoliberal policies, you know, financed and backed by the U.S. that destroyed the infrastructure, has destroyed its healthcare system, has destroyed its education system. So the reason that we're seeing AMLO getting so much support and the Morena Party getting so much support is because they're putting the people at first. They're fighting for the poor. They're standing up to U.S. bullying and supporting its and fighting for its sovereignty. And so that's the reason why Mexicans are proud to support the Morena Party, because they're defending themselves, they're defending the sovereignty of their country. And they want to continue to go in the path that they have been in the last 6 years, and that's to further and develop and grow Mexico.
So, Marco, following up to Abraham's conversation there, so does this mean that the people of Mexico are actually very, very happy with how the last administration was, therefore wants to continue those policies? Tom?
Well, what you actually have going on in Mexico, the reason why they keep electing socialists, Mexico City accounts for well over half the actual Mexican population, whereas you have the rural areas in the north, near Nuevo Progreso, Matamoros, up through there in Reynosa, that are actually a little bit more what you would call more reserved, a little bit more rural. They see the problems of what's happening on the southern border, as the majority of illegal immigrants aren't actually from Mexico. So this election is really, Mexico City is really isolated from the majority of the landmass of the country, even though, because the majority of the population lives there. That's what makes them keep electing these socialists, because Mexico City is an economic bubble of the country itself. So that's what this election is a reflection of, is that there is two drastic differences in the country of Mexico going on there. My family's been going down since the 80s, and you can see it if you go through there. So, I mean, they just don't, in Mexico City, they don't see the immigration as a much of a problem. They don't see the problems of the cartels. They don't see it because their country itself is isolated from the majority, with that being them living in Mexico City.
Oh, that's a really good point I want to follow up on with you, Abraham. Is that how you see it, covering the stories, the various stories? You know, obviously in the United States, you have that immigration being a dominant issue that we refer to our border security. But is that how those that actually live in Mexico, how much of this is a part of their conversation?
To say that people that live in Mexico City are not aware of what's happening in the country, you know, it's a slap in the face to Mexicanos, and I don't take that. Mexicanos know politically and economically, they know what's going on. The situation at the Mexico and U.S. border is not a crisis. These are poor people that are looking to look. They're looking for work. These are poor people who are moving from their homeland because of what U.S. foreign policy and U.S. imperialism has done to their homeland. So they're not criminals. The criminals are the ones in Congress and the Biden administration that are pushing these policies and making people move. And they're the ones that should be held accountable.
Now, it's interesting, Abraham, you bring that up. I want to bring Colonel Manis in on that question and follow up on that, because partly I do agree with you. I do agree that the U.S. does reserve some responsibility for some of the chaos that is happening in these South American countries that are causing them to want to leave. However, Mexico currently is also having to deal, obviously, with this mass immigration, and they're staying there. Colonel Manis, how do you see it? Do you see this as a crisis, and that it's just people that are just looking for work and escaping to the United States based on bad foreign policy of the United States?
It absolutely is a crisis for the United States of America and the people of the United States of America. And I completely disagree that it's just poor people looking for a better economic life. You know, the largest group of asylum seekers in Mexico today is Venezuelans, and they're escaping a Marxist communist country that's allied with Cuba and the communists there. So that is just beyond the pale to say that they're just a bunch of poor people looking for work, etc. Now, that category of folks that do come to the United States to work and obey the laws, all for it. Happy to have them here. That's great. But the ones that are coming in the millions are narco traffickers, human traffickers. The northern part of Mexico is controlled by the cartels completely, and the government has absolutely no control over it. So to say that the people of Mexico City understand what's going on in their own country is absolutely incorrect. And you know who it hurts the most? It hurts the Hispanic and Black American populations here in the United States of America, because their wages are decreasing and they were rising under Donald Trump. Their crime is through the roof. And we've got gangs that have infiltrated this country that are doing human and sex trafficking and child trafficking and murdering people left and right. Just look at what's happening in the media, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because our leftist media here in this country and in Mexico and other countries in the Western Hemisphere refuse to report the truth.
Well, it's interesting.
So that's where I'm at on that.
And I want to get more into the American influence, but let's get back to President Sheinbaum just in the remaining few minutes we have in this segment. Tom, President Sheinbaum seems to fall into this woke category as being one of the moves as mayor of Mexico's capital was a new gender-neutral uniform policy at a press conference at a school in the city. She said the era of girls having to wear skirts and boys having to wear pants is over. I think that's history. Boys can wear skirts if they want to, and girls can wear pants if they want to. Now, at a time, I think, when many countries are electing more traditional populist candidates, did it surprise you that Mexico, which is still very much a Catholic-dominated country, chose such a progressive liberal scientist who champions the LGBTQ community to be their leader?
It doesn't, because at the end of the day, the government of Mexico, the socialist government that's been running Mexico for essentially 40 years, is very much state-ran. The only information that gets out is that from the state. So globally, we can sit there and see what they're doing is separate from the Hispanic culture, because they are more socially conservative as a group of people. But there's a lot of Mexicans that don't even own TVs down in Mexico City. So when you have state-ran newspapers, state-ran TVs, and it's a socialist government, you have very, very, very limited private sector media in Mexico. There is some, I'm not going to say there's none, but it's very limited overall. And when it's subsidized by government, the government's going to control that messaging. It makes it very hard for a opposition party to step up and actually push the Mexican culture forward and actually embrace those values.
Well, it's interesting you talked about the Mexican culture, because Abraham, in covering this last election, turns out it was the bloodiest in the modern history. And there, after a candidate running for local office in central Puebla state was murdered at a political rally, taking the number of assassinated candidates to 37. This was just days before the election. There was also 828 non-lethal attacks on candidates during that current election season. What does this tell you about the power of the cartels, the warlords, or those that are causing this violence in Mexico, and the power they have over elections and those who are elected?
Yeah, I think what's missing a lot of the context in talking about the cartels in Mexico is we have to go to the root of the problem. You know, when AMLO ran his first campaign, and he was asked that question, like, how are you going to deal with the cartels? And he simply said, who are the people who are doing the work for them? It's young people who can't find work. It's young people who can't find access to education and can't survive. So his goal was to build the infrastructure of Mexico to provide social programs, education, healthcare, so that those young people don't have to go and do some type of dirty job for the cartels. And if we want to talk about the cartels, we cannot talk about the cartels without talking about the U.S. bank system. The banks have admittedly, plenty of times have admitted that they launder money for the cartels. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, Washington Mutual before it collapsed. So why aren't we calling them criminals? Why aren't we putting them in court and questioning them? Why are they working with the cartels? We have to go to the root of the problem.
That is a very good point, and I want to continue that conversation with Colonel Rob Manis, Abraham Marquez, and Tom Norton. Stay right there, because now that we've discussed exactly who the new president of Mexico is, we're going to look at how President Sheinbaum is going to work with other leaders in the region, specifically those on Mexico's northern border. We'll see you after a quick break. Welcome back to Perspective. I'm your host, Sky Nell Hughes. We're discussing the newly elected president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, and what her impact will be on Mexico. So in the previous segment, but now I want to look at what President Sheinbaum's effect might be outside of Mexico's borders. Let's bring back in our panel, Colonel Rob Manis, host of The Rob Manis Show and former U.S. Air Force Colonel, Abraham Marquez, freelance reporter, and Tom Norton, chairman, American PAC and veteran. Thank you so much for joining us. Tom, I want to start with you on this one, because President Biden was quick to call the new president and let the world know via social media his congratulations. However, how much will the Sheinbaum administration work with the Biden administration knowing there is just a few months until the U.S. election, which could see a whole different path regarding the southern border of America.
Well, you never know. With them both being socialists, they might help each other print ballots in November. But, I mean, we don't want ballots getting stuck off China Sea again, you know. But anyway, you'll probably see her try to push very quickly to help him to a degree. They may attempt to slow down the illegal immigration in the United States to make him look good, hoping Americans have a short-term memory from a gentleman that stated he was going to reverse immigration policies of President Trump that worked extremely well on semi-illegal immigration. And so I think over the next few months, they might go on a rapid response to a degree to try to restrict that immigration as much as possible, make Joe Biden look pretty decent. That's probably the direction that I could see them going in there. Again, it being a socialist government down there, they have been known to do that in the past. They did that with past presidents. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the direction that they went, considering we're in election season.
Well, it's interesting because obviously elections do change some sorts of things. But I want to go to you, Abraham, on this because Mexico is the second largest oil producer in Latin America behind Brazil. Now, President Sheinbaum's background is an environmental scientist who in her first term, she actually as mayor of Mexico City, made it a priority to start installing solar panels on top of the major market. So do you see this new president's policies might harm the oil and gas industry, thus impacting the economy of Mexico?
It's funny because no one criticized the previous Mexican governments when they privatized their natural oil to U.S. corporations. But now that they nationalize it, and they're holding the means of production to develop their country, you know, they're demonized. And that's typical. It's not the first time that Mexico stands up and defends itself and votes for a progressive candidate. They were the first country to elect a black president to Santiago in 1865. And now they're the first country, the first time they elected a woman. And Mexico being a predominantly Catholic country and still battles with the machismo, you know, I feel very proud that my people stood up and voted for a woman who is a Jew, who is culturally Jewish. And so what I see her doing in the future is going to be continuing to progress and develop Mexico so that people can have a dignified life, that people can actually stay in their country and be proud and be happy. And yet in the Western media, she's being demonized for that.
Well, and I see what you're saying about, you know, obviously giving Mexico the credit they deserve for breaking down some of those we consider to be glass ceilings. But dealing with we can talk about the first of everything, but it's also how they rule and what they do. So when you're looking at the economy with so much of it already, if they are trying to build it off of Obrador's administration, build it back again, this is an environmentalist. She does not like oil and gas. And yet that is where a large source of the growing economy of Mexico is coming from. Do you feel like she potentially could put her activist side and it might actually hurt the economy? Abraham.
I think she's going to continue what they're doing now, which is nationalizing and leave it into the hands of the state so that they can use that wealth and the money that comes in and to continue to develop Mexico. And it doesn't go into some private contractors or some private company in the U.S.
That's actually going to be very reassuring to hear, because that's exactly what needs to happen. Obviously, the natural resources of Mexico are very valuable. And I think that I would hate to see that pushed aside for environmental reasons when the economy does need to grow. But I want to go to you, Colonel Maness, because during former President Donald Trump's presidential term, let's go back to these crossings, because there was 1.7 million who crossed over from Mexico into the United States. Under the Biden administration, Border Patrol estimates between 10 to 13 million crossing the border. That's the ones we know about. President Sheinbaum would like the United States. This was a program started under Obrador. It was small, but she actually wants to increase it, saying the U.S. should give more money in aid and resources to the Mexican government to make life more enticing for migrants to stay there, therefore making them want to stay in Mexico rather than continue their journey up north. Is that a good idea for the United States to budget for?
That's a terrible idea. We're $36 trillion in debt already.
But we give everybody aid.
Why should we give a socialist president, and kudos for electing a woman, I guess, but why do we want to give a socialist president more of hard-earned Americans' tax dollars that need to be coming to hear. And let's go back to the nationalization issue. You know, the closest model of nationalization in oil and gas is Venezuela to Mexico. So now they've elected an extreme socialist president, and they're going to continue with this nationalization effort. Well, you can see where that's going to go. The wealth of the oil and gas industry is not going to go to the people of Mexico, just like what's happening in Venezuela. It's going to be destroyed, and she's going to love it because, as you pointed out, rightly so, she's a drastic environmentalist and is all in on the green movement. So she'll just keep going and letting things go, and that's going to be totally destroyed. Another good reason why the United States shouldn't give them a dime to that and should re-implement the policies that President Trump had in place so they have the National Guard on that border to stop the flow of people coming into this country, because it's not poor people. Hundreds of thousands of Chinese military-age males have come into this country through that southern border since Joe Biden took office, and that's a national security threat. We just arrested 8 Tajik ISIS terrorists inside the United States at key target areas like Fort Bragg, or whatever you call it on the left now, Liberty, North Carolina, where our special operations forces are. We've had military installation gate intrusion attempts left and right. And I'll just say it again, women are being killed by these SOBs that are being allowed in this country, both by the Mexican government and the United States government. And it's despicable that it's happening, and it needs to stop now.
Well, Colonel Manis brings up this national security concern. Tom, I want you to take a listen to Donald Trump speaking to a large group of young conservatives who were gathered in Detroit. He said this.
There's been a 3,000% increase in the number of people in the terror watch list crossing the southern border. 3,000%. 3,000%. The choice for every voter this November is clear. You can have a president who lets thousands of radical Islamic terrorists into our country, or you can have a president who throws radical Islamic terrorists the hell out of our country and gets them out fast.
Well, there's no guarantee that they're coming in through our southern border, but there has been some record of some of them actually making that pass. How do you think President Sheinbaum will handle a Trump administration, more importantly, Trump's rhetoric, and vice versa, considering President Sheinbaum's first step is to form a government intelligence agency, which, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked to find out. I thought every country had their version of the CIA, FBI. They don't. Her first step is to form this intelligence agency in Mexico. Do you think that will be enough for President Trump? Do you think that will actually make him feel more confident in knowing who's coming across the borders?
Absolutely not. I mean, I can tell you a lot about the border. Growing up back in the 90s, my grandfather ran a tourist company, like I was stating earlier, that ran across the border. There was no border wall. They came across, they swam across is what they did. And then in the early 2000s, you started seeing the military along the border a little bit more. My grandfather had there's actually still a ferry, a working ferry across Rio Grande from Sullivan City to Gustavo Ordaz Diaz, I think, off the top of my head. And that used to be a tourist town with restaurants. But since the socialist government has expanded more and more since the 1980s, and she's just going to be a continuation of it, it has become poor with less tourism and less people going there. Like we used to go into Reynosa and things of that nature. You can't be in Reynosa as a white person after 5 o'clock at night. And there's a casino there. The military literally borders it off. The cartel's sitting right across from them, and their eye of all the eyeball. And that was back in 2021 when I went down there. So when you sit there and you talk about her, any gestures that a central intelligence agency type program is going to solve the illegal immigration, the only way we're going to solve the illegal immigration is to finish the border wall, because it does work. When I was down there, that border wall that goes right across from Nuevo Progreso, Matamoros, it stops just south of Sullivan City. Nobody's crossing through that fence. It's controlled. You're not getting over a 80-foot wall. It's not happening. But they are crossing, and the military was working on both sides of that border up the Rio Grande, where that ferry still is. So we need to finish that border wall if we're going to start to address illegal immigration, to restrict it. That's the only way we're going to stabilize. And the way that we're going to stabilize Mexico is to address America's drug problem, which Donald Trump has proven to have a plan on.
Right.
No Democrats are addressing fentanyl. No Democrats are addressing cocaine. No Democrats are addressing any of these drugs. If we're truly going to address illegal immigration, it's going to be reforming how we address the drug war. It's going to be building the wall. And that's the only way you're going to start to stabilize Mexico. And once the Mexican people see that socialism is failing them consistently, like it has done in every country on the face of the planet,
right,
they'll wake up and eventually kick out the socialist government.
Well, Tom Norton, I think that's one thing we can agree on. If we're going to find a solution, if this new leadership is going to be successful, it's going to happen with movement on both sides of the border. I want to thank all three of you for joining me, Colonel Rob Manis, Tom Norton, and Abraham Marquez. Now, Mexico has one of the highest homicide rates in the world, with more than 100,000 people missing currently as well. Now, on average, 10 females are murdered daily in the country. And multiple areas of Mexico are on the travel advisory list, including six states on the do not travel to list, which is published by the U.S. Department of State. The escalation of violent crime in America is enough to put the sitting president's job in jeopardy of re-election, as Americans list safety as one of the top election issues going into November. Yet in Mexico, the people overwhelmingly voted to keep the same party in power, despite the overwhelming failure of former President Obrador's hugs, not bullets policy. Now, those who watched the election said the opposition party did not do enough to point out the high violent crime rate, nor what they would do to stop. But with this year's election in Mexico being labeled as the Hunger Games of elections because of the hundreds of attacks on candidates on the campaign trail, which actually resulted in 37 deaths of candidates, that might be a clue as to the silence. That's my perspective. But find me on X at Scotty and Hughes and let me know yours by using the hashtag perspective. Because this has been Perspective. See you next time.